the blessings of Christian baptism. I want to start off reading Mark chapter 1, verse 9. It says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Father, tonight, as we look at the blessings of Christian baptism, help us, Lord, to search our hearts. Help us, Lord, to make sure that we're living out our Christian baptism. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise now in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus had a ministry that lasted approximately 3.5 years. That ministry started by him being baptized, and his ministry on this earth ended the very last thing he said to his disciples before he ascended up to heaven is found in Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." And so to kick off his ministry, he was baptized by John the Baptist. At the finish of his ministry, as just before he ascended up to heaven, he gave the command to his church to make disciples and then baptize them. So baptism was the bookends of Jesus Christ's entire 3.5 year ministry. That means it's a big deal to the Lord. Now, there are two extreme ways people today in the church look at baptism. There's one group that says baptism is necessary to go to heaven, and that's why it's a big deal. There's another group that says baptism is not necessary to go to heaven, and so it's not a big deal. Do you know both groups are wrong? Baptism isn't necessary to go to heaven, but it's still a big deal with our God. So right in between what those churches teach is the truth. We are a Baptist church here, and Noah Webster defined a Baptist as a member of a Protestant denomination holding that baptism should be given only to believers after confession of faith and by immersion rather than sprinkling. But that doesn't mean that baptism is important because we're Baptist. Baptism is important because the Word of God says that it's important. And so the idea is that baptism is not a Baptist idea. The Catholic Church, believe it or not, until about the year 500, baptized by immersion. They did. And it's changed after that. So what does baptism symbolize? Again, I want to go back and talk first about our Lord Jesus' public baptism to see why he was baptized and why it was a big deal to him. So back in Mark chapter 1, verse 9, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." So if we went back to the day of Jesus and John the Baptist, back 2,000 years, the Greek word used for baptism, baptizo, was an everyday word. It wasn't a strange word. It was the word that was used every day. Because when mom would wash the dishes after everybody had eaten, she would baptize the dishes. All the word baptizo meant was immerse, to put under. That's what it meant. When she would dye the clothes for her children, she would baptize the cloth by putting it into the dye, under the water in the dye. So it was a word that was used all the time. One ancient Jewish historian even described a man being put to death by being baptized. What happened was he drowned. It wasn't baptizo didn't mean that he was in a religious ceremony, because up until the time of John the Baptist, nobody baptized. John the Baptist was the first one who started baptism. For a long time, the word baptizo had no religious significance at all. All it meant was to immerse something in water and to cover it with water. Kids playing in a river that dunk each other in the river were baptizoing each other. They were dunking them under the water. It wasn't religious, it was just having fun. So one day a man named John the Baptist showed up in history back 2,000 years ago, and he began a brand new thing. It says in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I'll send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John did something in a religious setting that had never been done before. He began to immerse people in the water who would confess their sin, repent of their sin, and seek to live a godly life. Again, in Mark chapter 1, verse 9, it says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. It literally says, the Greek word says he was baptized into the Jordan. And then verse 10 says, just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. So we want to talk a little bit about the reason why was Jesus baptized. Remember, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Did Jesus need to repent of anything? He didn't. It was a baptism of repentance, and it was also a baptism where you were seeking God. Did Jesus have to seek God? He was God. He didn't have to seek him. So what was the idea? Why was Jesus baptized? If we look at John chapter 3, verse 22, it says, after this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now, John was also baptizing at Enon near Salem because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. Why did John have to have the water? Because you had to immerse the person. If all you did was sprinkle the person, it doesn't take very much water to sprinkle. When Jeremy's grandpa was just at his funeral, the priest took some little bucket of water and he sprinkled the casket. I doubt if he even used a gallon of water. It doesn't take much to sprinkle. But when you really baptize somebody immersion, it takes a lot of water. So the reason Jesus was baptized was because he was identifying with the human race, because he was human. John said, I ought to be baptized by you instead of you allowing me to baptize you. And Jesus said, we have to fulfill all righteousness. He had to identify with people. The reason we need to be baptized is exactly the same thing about our Lord. In Acts chapter 8, verse 36, it says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. They went down into the water, and they came up out of the water, because it's a picture of what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us at our salvation. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, we were therefore buried with him. You can't bury somebody by sprinkling them. Let's suppose you died tonight, and they took you to the gravesite, laid you on top of the soil, and sprinkled a little soil on you. Is that a burial? That's not a burial. burial is, they dig down 6 foot deep in the ground, and they put your body 6 foot down in the ground. That's a burial. And so they were therefore buried, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so the picture is, I have died with Christ. I'm being buried in Christ. And when I come up, I'm coming up now to live for God. It's no longer I that live, Paul said, but Christ that lives in me. And that's the picture of baptism. So we've already seen not only you go down in the water, but you also come up out of the water. So the question is, who qualifies for Christian baptism? Can anybody get baptized and be acceptable in God's sight with the baptism? Regardless of how a person is baptized, whether sprinkling or immersion or whatever, there's only a select group that are worthy of Christian baptism. The only ones that qualify are born again believers in Christ. I was baptized at the age of 12. I was baptized, I never had received Christ. I was baptized by immersion, so I got it half right. But all I got was wet. I had no plans of dying to myself. I had no plans of living for Christ. I got a free Bible. That's what it was about. Billy Graham, when I grew up, if you recall, if you were old enough, when Billy Graham would preach, he'd tell you to come on down to the altar and get saved. Folks, during the time of Jesus, people didn't come down to the altar to get saved. Why is that? Because there was no steps to climb down. There was no altar to go to. People, their public declaration of faith was their baptism. You got baptized because you had just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It was a public declaration of what had already happened in their hearts. They didn't have to come down. All they had to do was tell the pastor or whoever was witnessing to them that they had trusted in Christ. They were then baptized by immersion, and they became part of the local church somewhere. Without exception, every time in the New Testament, you see somebody baptizing. If it was John the Baptist, it was a baptism for repentance. After the Lord Jesus Christ's death and they began to baptize into Christ, it was always, always, always believers, never unbelievers. I'm going to give you a few examples. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Acts 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with him or with them for a few days. Acts 16, verse 30. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is the Philippian jailer. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. So you see a pattern that first you receive Christ as Savior, and then you're baptized by immersion to show that you are now dying in Christ's death and you're rising to newness of life to live for the Lord. I want to stress this. Baptism does not save. Because if you go to a Catholic or a Lutheran funeral, everyone I've ever been to, they get saved at their baptism. When do most Catholics and Lutherans get baptized? When they're babies. They never believed. And it's so sad because people who have never lived for the Lord, as long as they got baptized as a baby, they never, their whole life, never lived for the Lord, they'll proclaim that they were saved at their baptism. Baptism cannot wash away sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, your personal faith in him, can do that. In 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Baptism doesn't purify you from anything. Baptism is a public display of what you have already done in your heart. If nothing's happened in the heart, all you did was got wet. I don't care if you got sprinkled or you got immersed. It doesn't matter. So why do we not practice infant baptism? Because the best we can understand from Scripture, an infant cannot receive Christ. The youngest one I know of that got saved is our daughter. Now, somebody may have got saved younger, but Amy was 3.5. That's pretty young. But her life changed. It was an amazing thing. She led her first person to the Lord at the age of about 6. And so you got to praise the Lord for that. Did she get saved? Yeah, I believe she did. But that's pretty rare. Usually 7, 8, 9 years old when they come to understand the gospel. But baptism significance. There's three words I want to use to tell you the significance of your baptism into Christ. Number one, identification. Identification with Christ. Why was Jesus baptized, we said? To identify himself with the human race. He was not repenting of sin because Jesus is the only man that ever lived that never had sin. He was not searching to know God better because he was God. And so the importance is identification. How does it work? Baptism is God's physical picture to the world of what's already happened in our hearts. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15:3, have we got her, Dave? Well, I got Romans 6, but I'll just read you 1 Corinthians 15:3 first. I might have left it out of the notes. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And so that's exactly what our baptism pictures, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And now Romans 6:3. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You see, when a person really takes their baptism seriously, they understand that. I'm proclaiming to the world that I have died to myself and I have raised the newness of life to serve God. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we'll certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. And so it's extremely important how we look at our baptism. As you read the passage, very clearly, the death of Jesus Christ. Very clearly, the burial of Jesus Christ. And very clearly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the only means of baptism that portrays that is immersion baptism. You can't do that with sprinkling. You can't do that by pouring. It has to be total immersion to show the picture properly. So we talked about the one word. Now we're going to get publication. Your baptism is a public display for the world to know that you have personally placed your faith in Christ, and now you plan to live for him. The New Testament profession of faith was not walking down the aisle of a church or the aisle of a big stadium. It was public baptism. 54 years ago when I got married, I put on my wedding ring. The only reason I've ever taken off my wedding ring was at work, because I was machine repairing around welders. They said, you can't wear your wedding ring, because if you're up on the overhead and somebody's welding, your ring will stick to that, and when you jump down, your finger's going to stay. So at work, I took it off. When I got home, I put it on. I haven't had it off now for 13 years. Why? Because I'm married. It's a symbol of marriage. But if I were to take it off and put it in my pocket, does that mean I'm not married? Not one bit. I'm still married. Same thing with Jesus Christ. You now belong to him. Just as my ring shows that I'm a married man, my baptism shows the world that I have personally received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Heard a little story about a little boy. This is years ago. He went down to Children's Church, and down in Children's Church, he heard the gospel story, and he received Christ as Savior. And so the instructor down in Children's Church told him, after the Children's Church was done, go upstairs, tell the pastor that you personally received Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so the little boy went upstairs. He didn't understand all the words exactly about being born again. The man told him, tell the pastor you'd like to be baptized. Well, when the little boy went upstairs, he was so excited and scared about talking to the pastor for the first time. He said, Pastor, I've been saved and I want to be advertised instead of baptized. Well, that's exactly what your baptism is. It's a public declaration. It's an advertisement that other people ought to receive Christ too, and they ought to be baptized. And the third word is transformation. Baptism pictures the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the burial of Jesus Christ, but it also pictures the resurrection of Jesus Christ to glory. So what we're picturing is not Jesus what had done to them or for them, but what he's doing in them. They are dying to their self and living for their Savior. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Jerry Larkin, because I got baptized 50 years ago now, is no longer supposed to be living for Jerry Larkin. I'm supposed to be living for Jesus Christ. I have died to myself. I'm now living for God. There are two ordinances in the church. There's the Lord's Supper and baptism. Those are the only two ordinances. All the others are man-made. All the sacraments, all that stuff, that's man-made stuff. You got baptism and you got the Lord's Supper. How does the Lord's Supper show the world about Christ? When you take the bread, what are you saying that it represents? The broken body of your Lord Jesus Christ. When you drink the juice or the wine, depending on your church, what are you saying that juice or wine represents? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And so it represents Jesus Christ that you believe in faith that your sins have been washed away through the shed blood of Christ. Baptism does exactly the same thing. Baptism points to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And to the fact that we have decided that we are going to die to ourselves and we are going to live for Christ's glory. Sadly, many people get baptized for all kinds of different reasons. I'm going to go through real briefly here three or four things that you have to think about. There may be somebody here or somebody listening on the computer later today that you've never been baptized at all. You never were sprinkled, you never were poured, you never were dipped, you never were dunked. You just never got baptized. And more than that, maybe they have never received Jesus Christ even as their Lord and Savior. You have to put first things first. If that's the case for anybody, the first step is to personally receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then get baptized by immersion. Others might be out there or here that you got baptized by sprinkling or pouring, but you never received Christ before. I got baptized by immersion and never received Christ. That baptism did how much good? Not one lick. I wasn't any cleaner, probably dirtier after the baptism than I was before. But the idea is, again, for that situation, you've already been baptized by sprinkling, pouring, immersion, but you never received Christ, the step is exactly the same. You must personally receive Christ, and then you must go for immersion baptism as a believer. Others here maybe fall into a little different category. You've been immersed, as far as the method of baptism, like I was. The method was right, but you weren't born again. You never received Christ. You need to be born again. And I've heard people tell me, well, I was baptized when I was 12. I received Christ, but I'm not getting baptized again. You're missing the whole point. You have to show publicly. That's a command of the Lord, to show publicly that you have personally received Christ and you are dying with him and living for him. Find that there may be some, and maybe you're saved, but from the time of your salvation, you've never been baptized by immersion. Folks, it's time for you to determine, I'm going to obey my Lord. The Lord said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We have to be obedient. You must be saved in order to go to heaven, but you must be baptized in order to be obedient. You cannot live and say that I'm living a dedicated Christian life without having been immersed in water, because it's one of the important steps of the Christian faith. So if that's anybody's case, it's something you need to get praying about and take care of it. Get it right. So we're going to sing,